What's the beep I hear? Is that your radio?
That's nothing serious. It's just a brake warning.
Oh,
oh, is that all?
Yeah. There's something wrong with every one of my vehicles. What else am I missing?
Presque en direct, à travers l'USA. Ce est tard dans la nuit. QRM. Vos hôtes ce soir sont Joel, Barry, Barty et Michael, le Youper virtuel. Ce soir, Michael passe 21 heures sur le banc. Goldfinger laisse Joel Brun sur la route. Et dans quelle mesure est Friena S de Barry? Tout cela est plus tard dans la nuit sur QRM. Et maintenant, la collecte numériquement au QRM. En Peluche Studio dans le sud-ouest du New Hampshire.
Vivre libre ou mourir.
Voici Joel, Barry, Barty et Michael.
Welcome everybody to Late Night QRM, show number 169 from the snowy Monadnock region of southwest New Hampshire. I am Barry J.
And off from the also snowy northeastern North? No, southeastern region. Sure. Where we're getting 20 inches of snow. This is Joel.
And from the chilly Tug Hill Plateau, where we're not getting any damn snow, fortunately, this is Barty.
And from the town formerly known as Red Jacket, and still is known as Red Jacket, heading north to the Copper Harbor, it's Michael, the virtual Uber.
All right, and we'll start the show this week because the way we used to start it, but since we made it an item or... we're going to start off with, of course, the Podcasters Anonymous.
Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light, then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then we'll drink in once again.
Mainly because we have nothing new to discuss. It's all the same old stuff. I am drinking a cheap port wine tonight.
Again? Yep.
Because I can.
Yep.
Yeah, good for you.
And I am drinking the same Palmasson peach brandy again.
And I'm behaving myself and just having some water.
Oh, you keep doing that. You're so disappointing, bro.
Well, I'm trying to keep my sugar in line so I don't have another Monday morning like I did a couple weeks ago.
Not to mention bikini season's coming up, you know.
I don't know what I would do with that.
And Michael, you're in the family truckster. What are you drinking?
Well, I'm looking forward to drinking something a little stronger later, but we just went to a place called Jimmy John's. I don't know if you have Jimmy John's on the East Coast
Jimmy
or not.
Jimmy John's.
It sounds familiar.
It's freaky fast food. Really, really good subs. Yeah. But brought Mark there for dinner after he got done snowboarding. And I watched him take a regular-sized drink cup, fill it one quarter full of unsweetened iced tea, and the rest of it full of Sprite. Yeah. And I looked at that, and I looked at him, and he said, "It's good. I've had it before."
Wow.
And then I trust the fact that he and I actually have a very similar taste, so I tried it. And that's what I've got. One quarter cup full of unsweetened iced tea filled the rest of the way with Sprite. And it's pretty darn good, actually.
It does sound it sounds similar to a place that I've eaten at when I was working construction called Shitty Sean's. And the food wasn't that good, and the soda cans were covered in dust, but you weren't hungry when you left.
No, Jimmy John's in the Midwest is an institution. It started at University of Illinois area from a student there. And he's turned it into just a dynasty in the Midwest. But it's literally known as freaky fast food. But it's really, really good. Hmm. Everything's fresh. A lot of their commercials are guys in an auto accident, and he's waiting for help to arrive. So he says, "Well, I'm going to order a sandwich." And all of a sudden you hear the sirens. And right after you hear the sirens, you hear this, "Here's your sandwich, sir." sorry, I'm late. There was an ambulance in my way.
Wow.
But it's almost that fast. I mean, you walk in the door and say, you know, I'll have a number 15. And by the time you walk around the corner, they're handing the sandwich to you, and it's freshly made.
Wow.
That's impressive. That is impressive.
Yes. We'll have to experience.
They do everything a little bit different. Yeah, next time you come up, we'll have to do a Jimmy John's. But, I mean, they stay open till like 3:23 in the morning.
3:23?
Everything is a little different with them, yes.
Speaking of,
that's really
not
cool.
Four. You know, they're smart enough to stay open after the bars close, so, so they can stop and get food. But they stay open to like 3:23.
Jeez. And speaking of food, I want to thank Scott oh so much.
Oh, jeez.
For posting that picture
of made me hungry.
Poutine on the Late Night QRM community page. Mm-hmm. Because it was nice to see. And by the way, in my research of poutine in the New Hampshire area, that place that he went to is supposed to have the best poutine in New Hampshire. So he was showing what is supposed to be the best poutine in New Hampshire. But I'm telling you, the next day I got into work, and of course I keep the late night... I hope nobody from work's listening. I keep the late night QRM community up on my webpage. And of course, that thing was up at the top, and I was staring at it all morning, and I was just like craving poutine. So I finally had to post something so it would get lower and
on the screen
so I it would be out of my sight. You know, I was like, this is killing me, man. So, and even though Manchester's fairly close, it would still be a haul to get up there. And I don't think it's not a fast food place, so, you know, it would be a tough lunch.
Right.
Yeah, so.
You're not going to turn it around quick.
Yeah, plus I ended up eating lunch in my office anyway, so.
Doritos from the vending machine again?
No, I brought lunch from home, so I had home lunch, but usually I take it and go down to the cafeteria and sit with the folks, and sometimes I augment the lunch a little from something from the cafeteria, but I was just way too busy and schedules were too short that I had to end up eating it in my office. One of those days. It's been one of those weeks, actually. So needless to say, yes, poutine. Now I gotta
it's
get
not
some.
Just for breakfast.
Yeah, it's not just for breakfast. So Michael's been working hard this week too.
I talk about it a little bit in the episode of podcast that should not be named. I released today, actually, but sometimes, and yeah, I don't work regular EMS shifts right now. Mostly filling in when somebody's sick or injured or whatever, because I really get a lot of other things on my plate right now. I know that's hard to believe, but I had somebody ask me if I could work Wednesday, and the one thing I haven't been doing is working during the week much. I work weekends normally because that doesn't disturb the family quite so much, but a good friend of mine had to complete some training. The brakes are getting pretty insistent here. Anyhow, yes, it's got a lamp out now, too. So not only can I not... So I can't stop, but they can't see me stop, I guess. nothing serious. Anyhow, a friend of mine needed to complete some pediatric advanced life support training on Wednesday, so I thought, okay, yeah, sure, that's absolutely, you got to do that. So... The stipulation I've got to everybody right now is I'm night shift. I just don't want to work days. It's really tough on me. Mm-hmm. Although it's that was a moot point on Wednesday because you're on duty from the time you know, basically you're still on standby for 6 a.m. even if you're on the 6 p.m. shift. Did an internet install first thing in the morning for somebody in town. And I had just finished it when I got a text from my wife saying, office called, some transfers going out. And then, okay, so I get on my 800 megahertz trunking radio and called the state police, told them where I was, and then I was heading into the office. And I basically got activated as soon as I walked through the door. So for all practical purposes, I got called in almost 6 hours early for shift.
Wow.
Got my butt kicked during the 12 hours of shift itself, and then we worked another almost 4 hours after that. So I was on the rig for almost 22 hours. We put 500 miles plus on the rig,
jeez,
and I lost count of how many patients we had. And that included two round trip advanced life support trips to Marquette General Hospital. So you guys know where Marquette is. You
yes.
know twice.
Oh, yeah.
Back to back. Oh, that was the other part.
That's a haul.
We took the first patient, got to Marquette, got back to the lift bridge at 3:30 in the morning, which is where the only 24-hour gas station is, much less station has diesel. Hmm. We pull in. I throw the nozzle in the diesel tank and start filling. My radio goes off and says, "We got another transfer for you." So I arrived at 3:30. We were at the hospital, picked up our next patient, back down the road again at 4 in the morning. And my partner and I were in bad shape by the time we were heading back from that second trip. It was exam week, so my youngest son was just finishing. The idea was to get back plenty of time, take like a 3-hour nap, and then go pick up my son from school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at this point, I've had no sleep. I'm a zombie. Mark basically talked me in on final approach to Copper Harbor. And I had firefighter class that night. So I had to turn around. I did take a short nap and had to turn around and go back to Lake Linden area, which is south of Calumet. But the firefighter class, by then I was on my third or fourth wind. So I picked up, and Mark had something to do at the high school, so I dropped him off at the high school and went to class, came back, picked him up. And then we did Ingress till what, midnight, Mark? On the way back, because I was already past being tired, The headache hadn't set in. I know I'm in trouble. After about the second or third wind, I'm awake. But the idea is you got to get to sleep before the headache from being, not sleeping.
Right.
Hits, because once that headache starts, sleep doesn't resolve it. It just has to go away on its own.
Right.
So you go to sleep, but you don't really have a good sleep because you got this horrendous headache.
Yeah. Wow.
But so yeah, it was another when did Mike sleep last?
Jeez.
I got my butt handed to me that night. Sometimes you go in and you don't have a single call for 12 hours, and that's horrible. But you're glad nobody's hurt.
Mm.
So I will say the shift went quick.
Yeah.
Went in a haze at one point, actually.
Yeah.
But that's where the training kicks in. You just got to do what you got to do. But yeah, we had everything from the very young to the very old, and just about any situation in between.
Wow. Okay, well, I have a special announcement here, okay?
Yes.
Attention all citizens of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Please refrain from getting sick or injured when Michael is on duty. He needs sleep. Thank you.
Thank you, Berg. I appreciate that.
Anytime you need a special announcement,
so,
I'm here for you.
And that's just EMS. I'm not doing anything special there. That's just the way that job goes.
Hmm.
Sometimes you're bored to death, and some days you don't know what day it is, much less what time of the day it is.
Well, my busy week was nothing like that. I wasn't saving any lives or anything. I was just doing a bunch of schedules and yelling at people.
Yelling at people.
Program faster. Are you done yet? Are you done yet? We're 2 weeks behind schedule. Get going.
Program smarter, not faster.
Yes. Anyway, yeah. Well, so that was my week. Anyway.
Cool.
And then, of course, this week, the big news, more important than the peace in the Middle East, more important than ISIS, more important than any Israel issues, more important than the economy, more important than pretty much anything in the world, it was Deflategate. Oh, damn it! It's on the front tab. It's on the front tab. I should have been ready. Where the hell is it? Oh, there it is. There we go. Yes, Deflategate. And in case you've been a recluse in the backwoods with no communications whatsoever,
I resemble that.
The cults have claimed that they had a squishy ball, and that was intercepted during the AFC playoffs, and of course that instantly said, oh, the Patriots are cheating. And so they took some balls, the refs took some balls off the field, and I guess they checked them and they found that they were under the required amount of pressure.
Under pressure.
I love that song.
David Bowie.
That's great. That's great. That should be a theme song for that whole thing. So needless to say, yes, that's all anybody's been talking about. And it's like, and if you go on the late night QRM community, and Joel experienced something similar. I walked into the one of our labs, and it's where all the DSP engineers are sit and work, and they're all huddled around this whiteboard. And I'm looking at the whiteboard, and there's all these, you know, formulas and equations, and there's drawings and you know, everything. And I said, "What the hell are they working on?" And I go up and listen in on the conversation, and they're trying to figure out how much the pressure of a football would drop with a 24 degree drop in temperature. In a, you know, whatever the time span was. And they had all these other things they're talking about, you know, with the leather of the football being wet versus dry, and, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, you're kidding me, right? You know, guys, we're a week behind schedule.
These things are important, you know.
Yeah, but, and Joel, you experienced the same thing, right?
Oh, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I was part of the group. It literally started off as a lighthearted side comment from someone in one of our production meetings, engineering production meetings, basically, you know. And we decided, you know, after the meeting was over, we all ended up in the robotics area, which is primarily where I work, automated manufacturing. And the conversation carried on, and then it kind of died off for about 25 minutes, 30 minutes, because people were doing this and had to answer this email and blah, blah, blah. And we all kind of ended up convening again. And, of course, it came up. So eventually it's like, look, you know, when somebody made some ludicrous, outlandish, you know, speculative statement, and then I looked at him and I said, I call bullshit. And the guy said, what? And I said, you're so full of shit, the laws of physics don't allow what you just described. Sure it does. So off we go to the dry erase board in the conference room. We have a whole wall that's painted with the dry erase board paint.
Oh, yeah.
So it's 12 feet tall, and it's 10 feet long. Whole wall you write on with dry erase markers. And where we sat there and figured out wind shear, tanning methods for pigskin footballs to the NFL while someone else is researching what's required for the pigskin to be tanned to become an NFL official football. Then basically the surface tension based upon the divots in the leather, if it was 2 pounds under at temperature that the game was played at, what would be the effect, you know, as far as, you know, a spiral and receiving it. And it turned into probably an hour and a half long discussion and equations figuring out exactly the difference between a ball that's properly, quote-unquote, properly inflated versus 2 pounds under. Oddly enough, when we were doing it, we figured out that, you know, what the NFL says is the correct pressure actually isn't for an optimum football at those temperatures. But, well, who'd we lose?
Michael. He's on the dark side of the moon.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was definitely... it was fun. It chewed up a good hour and a half's worth of time. And bottom line, was anything resolved? No.
And there's a simple solution to this whole thing. It really is. You know, the refs bring the kicking balls and provide the kicking balls. Why don't the NFL reps provide all the balls?
Well, they pick up the ball in between each play.
I know.
And give it back to that team so they have it in their hand.
But that's not that's not when it happens. Well, what I found out was, and I really didn't know this. Here we go. We're talking. Oh God.
Here we are. Somebody get out of dry erase board.
But what I found out was, is, you know, if you look at the rules, each team has, I thought it was 20, but apparently 12 balls. Each team brings 12 balls. They're inspected 2 hours and 15 minutes before the game. And whenever the ball, you know, the team goes into offense, they use their balls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so if the Colts take over, then the Colts get use their balls, you know. And that's,
yeah, but the teams don't control the balls. They turn them over to the officials.
No,
the officials,
they don't turn them over
to a series of ball boys.
The balls are inspected 2 hours and 15 minutes before the game and then given back to the ball boys. And the ball boys work for the teams.
Right. And then the home team, the home team holds all the balls.
No, the home team holds its balls. And the other team holds their balls, and like I said, whoever's on offense, they get to use their balls. So, and except for the kicking balls, which are different, and the NFL referees bring the kicking footballs because they're different, and for some reason, I don't know why, they control those. So, but as far as I'm concerned is, the NFL should have the referees provide all the balls and all this crap goes away.
Well, that would simplify things, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It's a simple answer. But, you know, all the bullshit on the news and everything, and people are getting so upset and screaming and hollering. You read comments on the stories, and it's like, oh, my God. I looked at Anne-Marie, and I said, it's time to pull out Idiocracy and view it again.
Well, you got to think about it also. It is a billion-dollar industry when you add up the clothings, the endorsements, the football games. So it kind of stands to reason why people make such a big deal about it because, I mean, there's a lot of money riding on the line.
Yeah.
And not to mention the Vegas.
Yeah.
I got a buddy of mine who lives in Vegas, so he put $300 down on the game at one of the casinos.
Yeah. But should
and
it?
He was, huh?
Should it, though? That's the thing. It's much... Ado about nothing. I mean, it's freaking football, people.
Well, plus the final score was 45-7. How much difference could a little bit of air made in that game?
Plus,
even some of the Colts players that said if the Patriots had been playing with a large chunk of soap, they would have still beat them.
Plus, the Patriots were actually playing better. After halftime, when the refs checked the balls and I guess pumped them up to where they were supposed to be, so you know, so it's just I don't know, you know, I'm looking at, but I guess what got me the most, and you knew it was going to be in the news, but man, every freaking day on everything, and that story was beating out other things in the news, and the anger between people, you know, and the comments and everything, and it's like. Really, people, is this what's the most important thing in your life right now? Is balls that are maybe slightly deflated?
Misdirection.
Yeah, really.
Oh, but there's another thing, and here I go sounding like a little like no agenda here. Football, overall this season, football ratings on television have been down.
Uh-huh.
So
what better way to bring back watchers and those to pay attention.
Right. Now everybody's paying attention to football again, and you know everybody always watches the Super Bowl anyway, but you know they're definitely going to be watching the Super Bowl now. Because
anytime the Patriots end up in the Super Bowl, there's always something that comes up anyway. There's always some scandal.
Yeah. So it's just, oh man, I say breads and circuses, or breads and circus, I guess.
You say, yeah, really.
Yeah. On this one. But that was, I just, you know, it's, I, you know, and even I'm making fun of it, you know, I heard on some, I think it was on a podcast, not on a podcast, it was must have been the news or something, but somebody said, oh, did you hear the Bill Belichick fired the equipment manager?
Really?
Yeah, because one ball wasn't deflated. yeah, I know.
That landed with a thud.
as most of my jokes do. It wasn't my joke.
So anyway, let's move on to the Free NAS project. That sounds more interesting.
The Free NAS project is going well. The machine's been up now for a week. My Time Machine backups are happily backing up onto the Free NAS, and everything is just working fine. I have the BitTorrent plugin working, and it's happily downloading and torrenting. I am, however, having an issue. I'm quite perplexed. Plex is the media plugin that allows you to stream your media to devices and your television, and in my case the Roku box. And when I first initially set it up, it was working and it was great and everything showed up, and it was very cool. But that was all in one, it was all in one directory.
What is that?
That's a radio. See, I told you they're all silence.
Talk over this, okay, Jackie?
What's that? What?
Said just to talk over it.
Oh,
just
okay.
Talk over them.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Where was I? So I had it set up so they were all in one directory. Well, you know, doing a little reading, they said, well, it's better if you put, like, movies in its own movie directory and TV shows in their own TV show directory.
Oh, he's turning left.
Music in their own music directory. And so I decided, okay, well, let me set that up. So I went and set that up and then restarted Plex, and, it doesn't see anything.
Really?
Yeah.
So is this set up, like, in a RAID configuration or multiple drives?
I just have two, and the NAS is working fine. It's not NAS; it's a Plex issue. The NAS right now, I've got 2 4 terabyte drives, and they're just in a mirrored configuration.
Okay.
And so it's a Plex thing, and it's got to have something to do with permissions, because the plugins that you put into FreeNAS, they run in a little lightweight virtual machine. So you're setting up little lightweight virtual machines for each plugin. So Plex is in its own thing, and then of course you got to go in and set mount points to where your data is on the NAS, and then when Plex comes up in the virtual machine, it automatically mounts these the directories, and they're there. Now you can go into a line command actually in the little lightweight virtual machine. And all the movies are there. I can look at them. I see them. They're all there on the command line. But when you bring Plex up and you hit scan, it doesn't see any of them. So it's a Plex thing. I'll find it. I'll get it. But it's, like I said, perplexing right now. Because I had it working, and now it's not. And I know it's got to be something with the permissions.
Yeah.
And
that's what it sounds like.
Yeah. But so that's the only thing that I'm having issues with right now. All the other plugins, well, the ones that I've set up seem to be working fine. And like I said, even Plex was working fine until I decided to get fancy. So I've got a couple more plugins to address. But I want to get Plex up and working, because nothing else is worth it unless you got Plex working. So
Yeah, Barry.
Yeah.
On behalf of Doug, how much has your Free NAS cost you so far?
We won't talk about that. I'll tell you. No. It's not that much. Well, if you consider,
it's the drives is the big one.
The drives were the big thing. You know, yeah. It was like
I just had to ask.
It's 300 and some bucks for the two drives, but I got Western Digital Red drives, which are NAS drives.
What?
So, huh?
This was supposed to be a cheap project.
Yeah, but
it's cheap. It's cheap compared to a regular RAID NAS.
Yeah, go system. Get go buy a,
wow.
a go buy a NAS that's free or not free. I mean, a NAS that's a unit. You know, go get a mirrored four gig NAS and find out how much you're going to pay for it.
So this
plus,
is not
you
really
can't modify.
Free NAS.
Well, the software,
by a long shot.
The software is free for the NAS. The NAS software is free, thus free NAS. Yes, a NAS is not free. You got to have hardware. Now, if you happen to have a couple of Western Digital Red hard drives sitting around, and you happen to have an old PC sitting around, and you happen to have 8 gigs of RAM sitting around, sure, it's free. But yeah, I had none of those.
So free is in the eye of the beholder.
Well, the software was free, and that's the most important part of the NAS. Well, I guess the storage.
that's like getting having a car to put it in.
That's a software engineer's view of things. The software is the most important part of the system. Yeah, you know, the hardware doesn't do anything without the software, as far as we're concerned. Of course, if you don't have hardware, software doesn't do you much good. That's the hardware's person, engineer's view of the system.
Uh huh.
So, yeah, and I'm going to get two more 4 gigs and bump it up, or 4 gig, 4 terabyte, and up it to an 8 terabyte system eventually.
So we got to rename this thing the Pricey NAS Project.
I've had a tough time finding the free in it.
It's the free NAS asterisk with the some hardware required.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a free NAS software project.
Yes. Well, that's what it is.
I'm sorry, Barry. I didn't mean to make this bad.
I know. These guys are just harping on me. You know, they're
just because it's fun.
Yeah. I mean, from a software point of view, it's free.
Okay, this is a good point to insert a blooper.
It's expensive.
Oh, blooper. You damn it. Hang on.
Blooper.
Oh, crap.
Blooper.
Problem is my laptop, which I run Soundboard on, if it sits here idle for a while, the screensaver goes on. Well, not the screensaver, but the screen goes blank, and so I gotta reactivate the screen. So when you surprise me like that,
it wouldn't be fun if it wasn't a surprise.
Well, not to mention we are doing a radio show, so where's the surprise and needing sound effects?
Just saying.
All right. I can tell it's my night.
Air all week.
It's my night, just like the previous week. It's my week. It's now my night. All right.
Well, you got to admit, it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Well, for the rest of us, it was pretty fun. Maybe not so much for you.
Nah, it's all right. I could take it. If I'm going to give it out, I got to be willing to take it, too.
So maybe you'll have more fun with Windows 10 when it comes out.
Oh, yeah. And thank you, Barty, for that beautiful, beautiful
that's what I'm here for.
Transition. Yes, and Microsoft came out and announced Windows 10 will be free to Windows 7 and 8 owners for the first year. I'm not sure what that means.
I read about that, and what that means is that it'll be free for a year. Mm-hmm. So if you're a lackey that doesn't get around to doing anything for a whole year, mm-hmm. you're screwed.
Okay, that's so what I was hoping about.
You've got 1 year to upgrade or shut the hell up, basically. Okay.
And you know what? I got to tell you, I'm liking Windows 10. I've got the pre-release on and a virtual machine on my MacBook Pro. And it's a thing of beauty. They've come a long way. I think this new CEO they have is starting to go back to software, and provide a decent quality product instead of whatever they were delivering before. So
I didn't have any complaints at Windows 8. I really liked it, and I was running it in a virtual machine on my older Mac Pro, and I didn't have a touchscreen or anything, but I thought it was fine. I don't know why everybody was bitching. I mean, it's not hard to figure it out and maneuver around.
No, you can move. Yeah, you sit there and slide the cursor over to the corner constantly to try to get the pull down or pull out, whatever you want to call it, with all the important stuff in it to come up, and then keep it out there as you try to scroll down and select the proper, you know, thing you're trying to get to, like, you know, the control center or, you know, devices or whatever. It's like it was much simpler when it was in the start button. You click the start button, boom, everything's there. And
yeah, I agree, but I didn't think it was really that hard.
And you know? the other thing was that by default it came up to the tab window, Metro, what they used to call Metro, which is very good.
Formerly known as Metro.
Yeah, very nice if you're on a tablet or you're on a phone. That's the interface you want. I don't want it on my desktop.
It was all mouse clickable. It wasn't a problem. I liked it. I had no issue with it.
Yeah, you know, the first thing I did was go over to desktop.
All the tiles were independently updated.
Yeah.
So you could leave that up, and like you could watch the temperature change, and you know, like weather highlights, and you could have all kinds of things that were always being updated.
So what you're saying, Barty, is that it's an excellent screensaver. But if you're actually trying to do work, you need to be on the desktop. And at work, you know, when I'm at work, we use Windows, and I've got, like, you know, three or four things up at a time. I got spreadsheets. I got, you know, PowerPoint. I've got, you know, program, what the hell is it called? Planner. The planner.
The project management
project
thing.
Yeah, project. I don't even know the frickin' names of these things because I leave them up on my screen. you know, I've got all this stuff up on my desktop, and they're up there all the time. I got a web browser up with the multiple tabs across with stuff, and you know everything that thing can do, I can do in my web browser. So, like I said, if I had a Surface or I had a Windows phone, yes, that's what I'd want to use, and I'm glad they have it. But the thing is, with Windows 10, it's still available, but you can also go right to the desktop if you got a PC, and that's an excellent choice, as far as I'm concerned. They've done it right now. Windows 8, yeah. Plus, I've had some issues with Windows 8 and software crashing. And
well, that's just a Microsoft thing.
Michael's breaking.
I mean, come on. Yeah. What version of Windows didn't crash, you know? That's so. What's nice about running it in a virtual machine. It can crash and not take the whole box down.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, at work, I'm not really that heavy into Windows. I use spreadsheets off and on to update things for management. But, you know, I'm just one of those peon engineers, and I spend all my time in Unix.
Yeah, that's...
No, I don't have these issues.
That's where we actually do work, but unfortunately... I don't actually do work. I mean, okay.
You're a big boss man.
I'm not a big boss man, but I end up on, you probably understand what this means, Barty, the gold link side.
Yeah.
and of course, that's where I spend the majority of my time in a lot of Microsoft products. And, and good news at work, we just finally upgraded to Windows 7. So we're right there.
We did that at our site a few months ago.
Yeah. Now, I got to say, Windows 7 was a great operating system. They're still continuing there. Every other one is good, as far as I'm concerned. Windows 7 was good. 8, not real thrilled with. 10 looks good. 10 is very promising.
Yeah, I like how they just conveniently skipped 9. It's like, that's an odd number. Let's not bother with it.
Yeah.
Let's hurry up and catch up to Mac and go up to number 10.
Yeah.
Well, there was another reason there that I actually kind of buy from. It was speculation from the software community, but there's a lot of browsers out there that are checking to see what version of Windows you're running, okay. And it's looking for the first number. And they were, some of the people out there from the software community were speculating that some browsers were going to see Windows 9, I think it was Windows 95.
Oh, okay.
And get confused.
Ah, that makes sense.
So, I mean, that's rumor, but that's one that actually makes a little sense to me.
Yeah.
So is Windows 10 going to show up as Windows 1 for some reason?
There was a Windows 1, wasn't there?
Yes, there was.
I loaded the floppy disks, all 35 of them, I think there were.
Yeah.
Onto my machine, yes. But there wasn't a working browser that came with it at the time, so it was no big deal.
And speaking of browsers, they also, and I forgot, Barty, you read the article. I just basically was listening to tech podcasts about this thing. They're coming out with a new browser.
Yeah, that they did, but there's not a lot of details about it. Mm. One of the biggest things I found about this Windows 10 was that they're going to be putting it on everything.
Oh, yeah.
All their desktops, their laptops, their tablets, and their phones, and including Xbox One.
Yes. Well, not only that, but they're also going to be able to. If you own an Xbox One, you're going to be able to stream it to other Windows devices and any PC that's running. Well, I guess anything that's running Microsoft Windows 10. Michael, stop breaking.
Yes.
Stop breaking.
Think of it like the in-flight thing here. And on your left, you'll see trees.
Does Mark need attention? He's hitting the flight attendant button.
It's more like a Flintstones thing. We're getting ready to put the feet through the floor and go, yabba dabba doo, slow down.
Through the courtesy of Mike's feet. Jeez. Yeah, so that's kind of going to be interesting, that you're going to be able to stream your Xbox 10 to your PC. I'm assuming that means you can play on your PC through the Xbox. That's the way I understand it, but they were kind of cryptic in the whole thing.
But, did any of you see on Google, there's a couple of people that posted photos of the announcement of Windows 10?
No. I didn't see it.
I was showing from the podium, Microsoft speakers discussing the benefits of Windows 10. And there's a number of journalists sitting there in the front row with MacBook 10s, MacBook Pros, I mean. Because you can clearly see the Apple insignia lit up on the,
that's funny.
The laptops as they're taking notes.
Well, I think the MacBook Pro is one, and MacBook Air, they're pretty much the most popular laptops out there right now. So.
And they do run Windows 10 really well.
Yes, they do.
I have been running Windows 10 on my 13-inch for a while.
They sure do. Yeah, so you get the best of both worlds when you do that.
I've got an HP desktop, and I find that Windows 7 runs a lot better on my Mac Pro in VMware than it does on the HP desktop.
Is your HP desktop older than your Mac Pro? Oh, yeah. Your Mac Pro is brand new.
Well, no. This is my older Mac Pro.
Oh.
I still have the 2010 Mac Pro. Mm-hmm. That's what I've got VMware on, and that's what I'm running Windows 7 on. And I've got a 2010 era HP. Excuse me. But the I have to say that when I'm running it on the Mac Pro, mm-hmm. I'm giving it a hell of a lot more memory than what the HP has, and I'm giving it a full core to run on, and it's a Xeon processor.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, see, you're giving it better hardware to run on, so I could see where...
It runs great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I'm kind of happy. I'm looking forward to getting an official copy of Windows 10. And I will definitely upgrade the recording machine here in the studio with 10, and then we'll give it a test and see whether we're cursing it or loving it. So okay. So and speaking of podcasts, I reworked my podcast list because I was falling drastically behind on podcasts, and you guys are talking about, and I'm like, yeah, I'll get to that soon. So I put all the shorter podcasts up into my B group, which I listen to more often than the C group. So, you guys up there that do the short podcasts, I'll be catching up hopefully quickly on those. Although when I did the rearrangement and I pulled up the B list, I had 71 podcasts in there that I had to listen to. But they go fast. They go fast. So I'll get through them. I think I had 71 when I started, and I've been doing it, listening to them for about 2 days, and I'm already down into the 50s. I forget how many I've got left, but so I'm cranking through them. So hopefully I'll catch up on those, and then I'll keep up to date with the shorter podcasts, like, you know, Slug is Doug and Walking with Dave and Love It or Hate
Up
It.
In the Sprain.
Up in the Sprain, Love It or Hate It. I'm trying to remember all the ones, you know, all the short ones. If you're a marathoner like Late Night QRM, sorry, you're in the C list. But if you do short ones, you've been graduated into the B list. And so that's my news. So I'll be catching up, and yeah, I may make some comments on. Well, I'm in November right now with the short podcast. So catching up. Anyway.
And before we go on to the next subject, we'll be heading down the hill towards Copper Harbor pretty soon. So,
okay.
Once that happens, I will check back in once we're at the virtual Uber estate.
So we Michael and I were talking on chat this afternoon, and we are trying to come up with a 17-hour late-night QRM.
I will not be present.
Well, you may not have to be. Because, you know, it didn't say we had to be there the entire time. No, we just have to have a 17-hour late-night QRM. And we were thinking, you know, we might have some kind of marathon or something to, you know, for some good charity like Restless Middle Finger. I can't say that. Restless Middle Finger Syndrome. Or, you know, I don't know. It might be a best of show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 17 hours.
Now listen to this 12-hour sound clip we're going to add here.
Yeah, pretty much.
That would make my life easier from editing. It's like, okay, here are shows 2, 15, 25, 90, 95. You know, and just put them all together back to back until you have 17.
Here comes our retrospective of Radio QRM.
If we're doing a 17-hour best of, and I'm going to put entire late night QRM episodes in there, it'll only be 2. I think.
True.
We'll hit 17 hours if I play 2 episodes.
Oh my god.
Embarrassing. Anyway.
Well, you know, it has been done before. I think Geek News Central has done a marathon podcast.
They used to do a 24.
24 hours.
Yeah, he used to do, and Twit does a 24-hour podcast on New Year's Eve. So
yeah, but I'm not shaving my head for this one. I'm going to do it.
Michael, I don't want to say anything, but you know, when we joke about you being on the dark side of the moon.
Yes.
You do remind me of old NASA communications right now. With that beep going off every so often.
Yeah, really. It's very close to the old beep, beep. We used to hear all the time, you know.
Houston, we have a problem.
Problem.
Well, Michael said it wasn't a problem.
Yeah. It's just his brakes.
Yeah, it's no big deal. Just brakes.
Stop.
At least I've got a manual transmission.
You can coast to a stop. Yeah.
Well, Michael, how close are you to the dark side of the moon? Oh, that answers it. You're Cyloning.
He's that close.
He's on Tranquility Base.
He's crossing the event horizon.
Okay, I think we'll skip that section then, because he's the only one that's got news in it.
What section is that?
No, the Ingress section. Oh, God. He's got, like, 2 of the stories in the next one, too.
Oh, I got 1.
Yeah, you got 1. Can you
stretch it out?
Stretch it out until Mike Michael gets on the
bad guy,
gets around the far side of the moon?
Well, we can try.
Okay, so we might as well then go right into bottom.
Cue the theme.
And welcome to another Late Night QRM edition of Bottom Gear. I'm your host, Joel. And I guess we'll just kick it off with, a little happening that occurred Thursday evening, which was Goldfinger. Left me sit by the side of the road.
Bum, bum, bum.
I couldn't
That's not another tap.
Myself. I know. I mean, let's see. He's got 100. Bread, milk, and toilet paper. Oh, no, that's the weather.
that'll be for a Tuesday.
It sounds like more of a need for Depends than your situation.
Yeah, I don't know. That depends.
Oh, I'm on the wrong. I switch it back. Damn it. You guys. There we go.
There we go.
I'm going to leave it on here, and now you're going to say something. I got to switch over to the other panel.
So about a week and a half ago,
mm-hmm.
I'm cruising on down the road, you know, listening to the basically the late night QRM roadcast.
I don't have
that. Was your cue? You've lost it. Damn it, Barry!
No, I have it, but I don't have it in the sound.
In the cart, I gotcha.
Yeah.
So, and my check engine light comes on, and I went, "No, it's running fine, accelerating fine, driving beautifully, but just the light came on," and I thought, "Oh, that's a little weird." But I thought, okay, we'll check all of our fluids, and we come to a stop. So I get back to the house. I check the fluids. I check this, that, everything. Topped off the winter wash fluid, because I'm sure that was the root cause. Yeah, right. And and said, okay, well, coming in the weekend time, I'll go over to my buddy's place, grab his computer, plug it in, see what codes it's throwing at me.
Mm-hmm.
And off to, you know, to bed you go, yada, yada, yada. Get up the next morning, fire it up. Engine light's off. The check engine light is gone. It healed overnight.
Wow.
And I said, perfect. That's magic. The way we like it to go.
Yeah.
So I drove it for, you know, a day and a half, and shazam, another one right there. The check engine light came back on, and I thought, yeah, I definitely have to go and you know, get the computer, plug it in, find out what the codes are, but in the meantime, I got to drive my car. I got to get to work. Throw gas in it. It was running fine. Accelerates fine. I did one thing that I never, ever, ever do. I put cheap gas in it.
Ooh.
I put regular unleaded, which was, believe it or not, $1.99 a gallon.
Damn.
Because I said, I just have to buy it because it's under $2. Mm-hmm. I haven't paid less than $2 for a gallon of gas, and I don't remember how long.
Yeah. Since puberty.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I bought gas. It was $1.99 a gallon.
And what you found out, it was...
How about a Fresca?
It was Fresca. All right. I love that movie. So, and then the light was staying on, but the car was running good, and it was getting really good gas mileage. So I thought, you know, the MPGs were good, so I'm thinking, all right, I'll, you know, no rush. Kept checking the fluids every day, and was driving fine, starting fine. Well, Thursday rolled around, drove to work with no issue, had a real colossally off and on shitty week. Just got out of work late again. And decided, okay, cruising on home. It was right at rush hour traffic. So actually, it was about 5:30-ish. And there's four major highways in New England that completely, completely suck to drive on during rush hour. I drive on three out of the four at the worst times of rush hour traffic. Yeah, I know shit. And when I went to get on to Route 3 North, which heads towards New Hampshire from Massachusetts.
Yeah, that was my old commute. I hated that son of a bitch.
Yeah, well, right at the on-ramp. So it's a real long, long two-lane off-ramp from 495 on to Route 3 North. It just, I put my foot in it to try and, you know, get over and get in a whole spot where I could get situated to merge from the off-ramp onto the highway. And all of a sudden, it starts spitting and popping and hesitating and shuddering. And I'm like, oh, no. And then it cleared itself up for a split second. And then I went, oh, shit, this isn't good. And I put my foot in it again. And every light came on the dashboard, and the engine shut off while I'm coasting.
Oh, man.
And I thought, oh, shit, and I'm coasting slow. You know, I'm really starting to slow down here. People are trying to come over to the left to get into the lanes and start to merge onto the highway, and I'm desperately trying to merge to the right to get to the shoulder of the road because I've got no propulsion. Whatever momentum I got is what we got, and short of me getting out and pushing this car. Yep.
That's a good one.
Sure enough. I thought for sure I was going to get clipped, but I didn't. I got over to the side of the road. Supremely busy traffic. I mean, bumper to bumper, people going crazy, cutting each other off, honking horns, flipping the bird, restless middle finger syndrome, everything.
Yeah, it's the usual Massachusetts driving, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
No turn signals.
No, directionals, it's keep them guessing. That's the name of the game. Keep them let them guess where I'm going to cut the next person off and which direction I'm going to go in. And, God, so I got over, I'm trying to hit the key to get the start, battery's dead.
What?
Nothing. I'm like, so the battery is complete. What the hell was that? The battery's completely dead, and I'm thinking, I never had an alternator light or a volt light come on to say that the battery wasn't being charged by the alternator. Why is my friggin' battery dead? If it's one thing with the car that kept it from running, that's one thing, but the battery shouldn't be dead. I had no indicator. But sure shit, that's one of the things that I had experienced. So you pick up the cell phone. And this is one of those things, I'm listening to podcasts, and I hadn't plugged my phone into the to charge off the car while I was driving, because I figured I'll be home, why bother?
Yeah.
So, of course, you look at your cell phone, and my iPhone has 40% power. Oh, shit. And it's still with the new upgrade and all the software, I can still suck that battery dead dry in a day.
Go!
Yep. Thank you, Homer. So I quick figure, well, I don't have enough juice to turn this engine even one revolution. So why the hell not? I'll suck the car battery dry charging my cell phone. So I plug it all in. I call the missus and say, hey, I'm going to be a little late for dinner. I'm broke down on the side of the road. She's like, what? I'm like, yeah, I know. I can't believe it myself. Call AAA. They were super polite, super fast. We're AAA Plus members for quite a few number of years now.
Well worth the money.
Oh, God, yeah. Well worth the money. Every penny of it. What it cost you for the three of us to have AAA Premier is easily less than the price of one tow.
Yep.
So, tow truck driver is wicked nice. Pick up the car. Guy dropped me off at the house. I tipped him $20 because he didn't have to do that. They do not have to give you a ride to your house.
Right.
That's up to the driver. So I said, let me buy you dinner. Guy was really, really nice, young fellow. He's been working here 3 months. He's like, oh, you don't have to do that. I said, I'm buying you dinner tonight, buddy. You saved my wife having to come out and get in the car and come pick me up and, quote, unquote, do the rescue, you know, rescue me from wherever the hell it is I ended up. Had the car towed all the way up to Jaffrey, up to Dr. Kenny's, who just finished working on Wilson.
And Wait a minute. What, did you say Wilson?
Wilson.
Good one.
Expect that.
Good one.
Oh, it's good. It's classic. So, yeah, so he's got the car up there now, and we've been texting all Friday and today about what do you think it could be? And I've been going on all the blogs, all the websites, trying to find out if anybody's experiencing the exact same kind of symptoms. And sure enough, there's a lot of them out there, but it's everything from a broken ground wire going back to the fuel pump that runs over top of the transmission, which is a known thing to rust out and fray, to up to and including a combination like the alternator took a dump at the same time the ignition control module died, or is it one of the coils? And I'm like, yeah, but all those, if any one of those things had to go bad, with the exception of the broken wire, a volt light would have come on the dashboard telling me, hey, you're not charging the battery. You're running whatever charge in that battery you got. That's how long the car will run.
Unless your idiot lights burn out.
Nope, it's not. Oh, okay. I checked it when I was sitting on the side of the road, broke down. I'm like, what the hell's going on? So I started the key and I give it two clicks, and every single one of those lights lit up.
Okay.
So I said to myself, this is an odd one. So he's trying to diagnose it. And, which, you know, it sucks because, I mean, that car runs, oh my God, it runs beautifully.
Yeah.
And I'll be pleasantly surprised if he says, oh, I found this frayed wire in blah, 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 and an ignition control module, what have you. I don't know. I'm really kind of stumped at this point. I told him, plug it in and find out what codes it throws at you. Yeah. That check engine light's been on for a while. It'll probably tell you. So that's where we're at with Goldfinger. I mean, it was just an uncanny set of circumstances with it leaving me by the side of the road.
So this episode will continue.
Yes, it will continue. And
mystery.
Hopefully, you know, here's the weird thing. I got Wilson out of the doctor's office.
Wilson!
And promptly gave him to my daughter. And then my car breaks down, and I'm like, shit, I still need to get to work.
So basically, Goldfinger gave you the finger.
Yeah, Goldfinger gave me the finger. And
Goldfinger!
Apparently, Goldfinger's digging out a wok. No,
it's cooking time with Michael.
I was just doing the bottle of Finlandia, actually.
Oh, okay.
I am adding the Finlandia to the iced tea and Sprite. I'll tell you how that works out.
That sounds like it has promise.
I think it does. Sorry, so go on with...
So that was my experience of the week, which kind of caught me completely by surprise. I didn't expect to end up by the side of the road, especially Goldfinger. But that's all played out for me. And, you know, I'm going to want to watch TV long yet.
Sorry, you said it. It's voice activated.
Yes, it is. I understand completely. So that's my story. I'm my saga. Anybody got anything else?
Man, the worst problem I have in my vehicles is the truck that we haven't driven in months has a low inflation warning on the right rear tire.
I wish I had that problem.
Just from sitting around.
All right. Well, okay. Since we're trying to fill time until Michael's ready to tell his stories, I gotta tell you that on the Prius. The maintenance light went on, which means it's time for an oil change.
Really?
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, come on! I'm on another tab, god damn it! And
the Jeep, it just says oil change.
And I also took it through the car wash yesterday because it was pretty much... Well, it was gray. The car that's usually gold was gray all over, including the windows. You know, you could actually see where the windshield wipers worked.
But that's normal on my car every day in the winter.
Well, I decided I'd better give it a bath before the next.
You know why you can get away with that? Right. Honestly, what you can get away with taking your car to a car wash in a dead middle of friggin' end of January, February, New England winter weather, right. Because your car lives in a garage.
It does. It if does when I get home.
Take your car and wash it.
And it's
outside your house, like everybody. And I did this with my truck 2 years ago. I froze my locks so bad, I froze myself out of the damn truck.
Well, I'm even worse than that. I got gas at the Sunoco in the Jaffrey Sunoco, and I put my little credit card in, pulled it out, and it says, "Do you want a car wash?" And I went, "Yes." So I filled tanked up my Prius for another week, and rode around into the back and went into their brushless car wash and sat there listening to podcasts while it did its thing and removed all the salt and sand off of my car. So it's good to do that every once in a while. So,
well, driving where I drive, where they throw dirt down anytime it's not snowing, and a lot of times when it is, there's no way I could keep the Jeep clean. So, you know, anybody ever makes any comment about the Jeep being dirty, I usually tell them, well, it's a Jeep. It's supposed to look like that.
Yeah, that's true. But I just, you know, it was, like I said, you accidentally touch your coat to the side of anywhere on the window or the car door, and you'd have this big white spot on your coat. That's how coated in salt and sand it was. It was pretty bad. So I said, well, let's get this washed off. And, you know, on Wednesday, it's going to probably look just like it did on yesterday.
That's the way my Jeep usually looks. And, you know, if we have a warm day, I keep sitting in the parking lot all day, I end up with a whole pile of slush on the ground where the Jeep was. Everybody can tell the next day where I parked the previous day because they can see where all the crap that came off just fell off the Jeep.
Yeah, that's what happens in my garage. I come in and I pull up into the garage, and the next morning there's like these chunks of ice that melted off the car, and there's puddles of water from, you know, everything that melted off the car sitting in the garage. But, oh well, at least it's warm when I get in. And it doesn't require a lot of time to warm up when I'm driving to work.
Yeah.
And I don't have to brush it off in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow.
That's as bad as a 4-day work week.
Why not just pile it on some more? There you go. I don't have to clean my car off, and when I get in, it's always warm.
Yeah, it's like, thank God I only have to use my car, you know, 4 days this week.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so very much.
And you probably only used 4 gallons of gas, right?
Yeah,
exactly. 4 gallons of gas for all 4 days.
I tanked up yesterday, so I'll be good until next Friday, at least. At, you know, 100 miles a day. Uh-oh.
Hey, we're going to Saskatchewan.
Crunch.
He must be using the Apple.
Yes, I am.
He must be using the Apple earbuds.
I'm using the Apple earbuds, and it's cold out.
So yeah, it's we crunchy. Can tell.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's extra crunchy tonight.
With Retsin.
No, with minty fresh scent.
Good day.
Thank you.
Good day.
Oh, well. What?
Well, Anthony Marshall. It's a beauty way
to go. Take off through the great white north. But there you go. That'll be the new theme when Michael's walking to the man cave.
Well, our podcast runs a little long, so I think we lose a lot of people about halfway through it.
I don't think so. I think they listen to the whole thing.
Why, I don't.
Well, that's because you're usually here.
So, anywho, Michael, what do you got with regards to, or do you want to wait until you get settled in the man cave and flip over to your new mic?
I don't know. Is there anything else to talk about before I get to it?
Well, we're in bottom gear, so you got your stories.
Well, actually, yeah, I could throw something else in there, which is a kind of a unique scenario, and I talked about it once before, so I sound a little redundant on it, and I apologize for that. But I spoke to my beautiful bride. And earlier on, Michael even commented, this is on the previous late night QRMs, about how I was toying with the idea of getting rid of my bike. I really, really was, only because I never ride it. I ride it very, very little. And I really want a Jeep. And I'm back on the you know, I got the QRM Jeep project out back when I put it on sabbatical, you know, money and this and that. I thought, you know, I really should finish that thing.
It's the free Jeep project.
Right. Anyway, free Jeep. Exactly. The free
Jeep. So the Jeep might be cheaper.
So I said, I got to pick a direction, you know, and do you want to ride two wheels or do I want to ride the Jeep? And I really want the Jeep. I've got the motorcycle thing out of my system. So I've decided that I'm going to devote all my energy, sell the bike, and put my energies in much of the proceeds from the sale of the bike into the Jeep and get that hopefully running for this summer.
Cool. It's windy up in Copper Harbor, too.
You mean up in Canada?
Oh, Canada, yeah, that's right.
As they get closer to the lakeshore, yeah.
So that's the only other thing I have to add to it, to bottom gear, is that Operation Jeep is going to actually pick up some momentum.
All right. Cool.
Cool. And, it's snowing.
Also, one other thing. This is not bottom gear related, but it kind of is. I was given a very nice gift from Michael. It was a radio. But obviously, there's certain checks and balances and things that have to be obtained before it could be mounted into a vehicle. Mm-hmm. Well,
yes.
As I had, with my wife finishing up her CERT training, one of the folks who was also getting certified there also runs the local ham radio testing here in Nashua, who then informed me where and when they perform the test the first Saturday of every month.
Yep.
Here in Nashua.
Yep. So I'm like, you know, they've got a quite active club down there.
Yes, so it's like, you know, getting involved in that, get the licensing done, and then you have to have a Jeep to put the radio in. I mean, it just has to be a Jeep.
Yeah.
That's right. Because they only look cool in Jeeps.
Yeah, big antennas hanging up off the back bumper, and yeah, it's just, hey. Well, I don't know if you guys heard that or not. It's still snowing like a son of a bitch here.
Yeah, that's why I opted not to snowblow until tomorrow. It sounded like it was going to go on until 10 o'clock tonight. So.
Yeah, it's in when Debbie said we're getting another 20 inches. Oh, blast doors.
Blast doors are going up.
I reached the man cave.
You got to have one of the Millennium Falcons. Never mind.
I know one for that one. I'll have to get it, and I'll have it ready for next week. But that means Michael's going to have to walk to the van.
Only problem is next week, it's going to be a long walk because I'm going to be on duty next week.
Oh, okay. Well, it'll be ready for next week.
So that's everything that I got as far as bottom gear.
Yep. We're waiting for Michael.
Sorry.
Let's see. Do I have any other thing?
The family schedule will change, and I'll start catching up again.
I actually do have one question. It's a bottom gear related, if you don't mind. Okay. I don't want to cut in on your step on you, Michael.
I'm setting up my mic, so go ahead.
Barry, how did the new snow tires do with this last storm?
I don't know.
The ice storm that we had a week ago.
Oh, ice storm we had a week ago?
Yeah, we had an ice storm like a week ago where it was like everything was like a sheet of friggin' ice. Remember it rained and then it froze overnight? I think that was on Monday into Tuesday?
Didn't hear.
Okay, it sounds like the tires did great.
It did great. It was dry pavement.
Maybe that was Barry's virtual Monday.
Now, you know, well, you know what? I didn't notice. So if we had ice and stuff, it did obviously quite well. Because I'll tell you, my driveway right now is a sheet of clear ice going up and down. I mean, it's hard to, you be slipping and sliding. Right. And it goes up it like a trooper. I mean, before I would try to do that and the thing would be starting to go vroom, 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 and then start going backwards. You know?
Nice.
Yeah. So, and then I'd have to figure out a way to turn around. That's why I always avoided going up the hill. But I haven't avoided it yet. It's going right up the hill. No problems.
Very cool.
It's almost like it's got those gecko-type paws on it. Or
oh, yeah.
That stick to anything.
Gecko paws.
So.
Cool. Yeah. Very cool. I was just wondering how that went.
Yeah, so far so good, and I haven't had it out today. So maybe tomorrow I'll let you know how it's doing in the snow. Well, you know, and definitely on Tuesday. Although, if they're calling for the amount of snow that they're calling for, and it's going to be snowing during rush hour traffic, I may take a vacation day. Just because. That's mostly because it turns an hour commute into a 3 hour commute. And that's not me. That's everybody else on the road. And you got to say 3 hours down and 3 hours back.
And with a 4 day work week, you know, why even go that day?
That's right. Make it a 3 day week work week. And, you know.
No,
Jesus.
Yeah. So. Are you on the microphone, Mike? Michael?
Mike on the mic? Yeah. Mike on the mic.
Getting close.
So. Yeah. We're waiting for Michael. Because, you know, Michael, you're the last two stories because we don't have any entertainment last month this week.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, Doug Slater posted on our G+ page.
He did?
About Podcasters Anonymous tonight on Slug is Doug. Yeah, he's drinking Dewar's blended Scotch whiskey.
Oh, I
nice.
I see that.
Yes. I still can't find my scotch. I forgot to ask.
I drank it.
I was actually looking for my scotch, and that's why I couldn't find it, so I ended up with the cheap port wine.
Burp.
Yeah. Where is that coming from? I think it's my Windows box that's making that noise.
What noise is that?
Well, if you guys can't hear it, I get a blink like I'm getting email, and I have a feeling it's that goddamn tabbed interface
goddamn tab.
to Windows 8 that has all those tabs, including a mail tab that I don't know how to turn off. And so every time I get email, it goes blink. And it gets on the recording, unfortunately, but you guys don't get to hear it.
I'm okay with not hearing it.
Yeah, well, but it's getting on the frickin' podcast. Love Windows 8. Love it.
Time to upgrade to 10.
As soon as it comes out, I'll be
free.
There.
So speaking of 10, it's supposed to be on the Xbox One, right?
Yeah, and you're going to be able to play the game Defiance between an Xbox One and an I'm full of shit. It was the new Fable.
Take your Xbox. It'll fix that.
The new Fable game that's coming out. Mm-hmm. If you have it on your PC, Windows PC, here, running Windows 10, and let's say you have the disc and you have it on your Xbox One, mm-hmm, you can cross-platform play on the same servers with each other.
Yeah, that's what I said when we were talking about the.
Yeah.
But I don't listen sometimes.
Come
you
on.
Guys.
But we were talking about Xbox and we were talking about Windows 10. And the fact that one of the new features is that you're going to be able to stream your Xbox 10 or Xbox One to Windows 10 devices.
Right, but that you said streaming. I'm talking about playing the live game.
Streaming.
Well, no.
Streaming is watching.
Log on to the same server with two different devices.
Yes, yeah. And that's what they mean by streaming.
Streaming.
That's
is
what watch. They call it.
Streaming is watching. It's like send it from my tablet to my TV.
Yeah, you can do that without doing. For God's sake, why would you want to do that if you got it on the frickin' TV in front of you?
Yeah. Well, with the Sony, if you had a PS Vita, mm-hmm, you could start a game on your PS4, move it over to your Vita, and then leave the house and keep playing the game.
Yeah, well, what they meant, because I was reading up on it, they called it streaming. But what they meant was you could actually, if you have an Xbox One, and you need to have an Xbox One, you can actually play on your PC through your Xbox One. Or pretty much any other device you've got. I don't know how what the interface is going
to
be.
No, what I'm saying, yeah, well, I heard what you said. Yeah. What I am saying is not play through your PC on your Xbox One. I mean, Barty logs on to his PC running Windows 10 at his place in New York.
Right.
And I log on to my Xbox One here in Nashua, New Hampshire, and we will both meet up on the same server in the same realm playing the same game.
Okay, so you mean they're merging the PC network with the Xbox One network.
Which is what I just said.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what Joel just said.
Well, and they also, but again, what I was saying, they were also saying if you have a PC, you'll be able to play the games through your Xbox One.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So,
gotcha, yeah.
Yeah.
So they do two things. There we go. So but I'm saying that's the cool thing is that you could log in with your PC from Jaffrey. I could log in with my Xbox One from Nashua, and we could play the same game at the same time with each other. Without having totally different hardware.
Why did they separate those anyway? Because they were different hardware?
Back in the day, yeah, the hardware was drastically different. Because like the Xbox 360 ran on a variant of the G5 processor that the Mac Pro used to have. Because that's what Sony chose for the PS3.
Okay.
And so Microsoft followed suit. But and this latest generation of consoles, the PS4 and the Xbox One, are actually PC-based processors from AMD.
Oh, okay.
So they're not RISC processors anymore like they had been.
Hmm.
So they're much more conducive to running a PC-type operating system.
And so the games are compatible now.
Yep.
And,
more so than they had been.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, because I always wondered about that. Because, you know, I know a lot of guys that have these super gamer PCs that, you know, I mean, they're maxed out to tilt, and they always prefer to play games on the PC just because it beats even the game consoles because, you know, they're blowing buku bucks on these things. But I was like, wow, you can't even play with guys that have game consoles. You know, they can only play with other people that have PCs.
Other PCs, yeah. Right.
So that's cool.
Not once 10 comes out.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. I like that.
I thought it was cool, too. I got the classic reply when I mentioned it to Debbie. I'm like, hey, you can play Fable, the new one, across a Windows PC running 10 and the Xbox One. She goes, I have a Mac and I don't care.
Well, if she wants to do that, you can get, VMware or Parallels and put it on there and put a copy of Windows on that way. And run
yeah, I could do that, but like there again.
But if she doesn't care, why bother?
She's a WoW player.
Yeah, if she can play WoW on the Mac, then why bother?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So
test 1, 2.
Yep, we can hear you.
Test 3, 4, 5, 6.
It made me reinstall all the plugins twice.
Really?
Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I went to say, join Hangout, and it said, yeah, in order to join Hangout, please download these quick, you know, these plugins from Google, and then install them, and then authorize them, and then, you know, spin around four times, dance in front of the moon. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
I was getting frustrated. I've already gone through half my iced tea.
Uh-oh.
My UP ice. That's not a Long Island.
Hey, by the way, Joel, Doug sent a message to you on the late night QRM community that the bottom gear issue you were having in that E10 error, it wasn't E10, it was ELO. Goldfinger was telling you it wanted to hear wanted to eat a vintage ELO tape.
Oh, all righty, now I got it.
You got to get the one that's on the third day where they're all bearing their belly buttons. Mm-hmm. That would be a likely one that it would most like to eat.
Well, I can actually say that I got so PO'd at my E10 error code, and I grabbed my FM transmitter, the nice one, plugs in, so no batteries, yada, yada, yada. And it works. Oh, by the way, Barry, to your kudos to you, it was 88.7.
Okay.
It was that station that has, like, no interruption whatsoever. I was going through it with my new FM transmitter is digital like yours.
Yeah.
So I was able to really hammer down and find one that was in the sweet spot. So, I was listening to all the podcasts from, Anthony and Dave, Shane, Bob, and of course, when the car broke down, it ruined my podcasting moment. But
it would have a tendency to do that.
It does. You find yourself turning it off quick, going, what the F, man? Why the hell is this thing not running right?
Michael, you ready?
Yep. I was born ready.
Michael.
You're not talking to me.
No.
Joel had an identity crisis moment.
No, I'm looking in shock at the message I got in Hangouts from the local Ingress community saying, have you left Houghton yet? If you can just Jarvis XYZ, it'll save you a whole bunch of trouble tonight. And I'm like,
oh, are you
switching? Now I get the message.
Are you switching over to Ingress? That's the one we skipped because you're.
I wasn't intending to, but I just got the message now saying before you leave Houghton. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Oh crap! Where did I put it?
Oh yeah, there we. Oh Jesus!
Jesus!
The screen blanked.
I rearranged everything. Oh, there it is.
Acquiring Luger. Position. Downloading latest Intel package.
Whoops. Oh Jesus!
Bluger.
Rest the button. The button.
Max.
Oh my god.
Alright. I can guarantee you tonight, for all you people that love the Ingress moment, that it's going to be a short one. So, Michael.
It's okay, because the show's already 3 hours long.
Not quite, but we're getting there. Go ahead, Michael. Yeah, we have a challenge. I just got to tell you, Bob challenged us to fill his iPhone 6, 128 gig, and we're going to do that challenge. Take that challenge, and we're going to try.
Do it with a WAV file and 128K sampling.
I could, because you know I keep it at a high MP3 when I finish it, and then I drop it down to a 64-bit. Sampling to cut the pretty much cuts the size in half.
Cut the crap.
Yeah, and Bob already said that his mega company that he works for with three letters in it.
Yeah,
of course that narrows it down to about 4,000 companies, but they pay his data bills.
There you go.
I heard that.
Yeah. So go ahead with Ingress, Michael.
Well, a couple things are going on, including something right this second, which I can talk about because the show won't come out until after.
That's right. And you know what? It's interesting. I got to say, it's interesting you say that because something's going on down here, too. So I'm wondering whether they're related. And I'm
not part of the big one. That's a big one.
Okay. I'm not part of it because they wanted somebody to go out and take out a portal at 4 a.m., and I'm not doing that.
Yeah, it is part of that. It's part of that operation.
Okay.
Mark and I will find out later.
And
so anyhow,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead because I have a similar kind of. I'm going to agree with your story and say a similar situation's happening here. But go.
Okay, so last week we talked about holding out for 2 more days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lo and behold, as the rest of the QRM. Crew knows, and anybody... Did I post that on the actual...
Yes, you did.
Google Plus? I don't know if I did or not.
I don't know. No, yeah, I think we got it on our iMessage. Yeah, there. iMessage is where I saw it.
But I did hit 90 days. Woohoo!
Hoo-hoo!
Now I'm continuing on. We'll see how long it lasts. Fortunately, I have a fairly remote site, and
you might
we'll
make
just happen
it.
To... It's, I might make it. It's, you know, it's got... I got a ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
But my son is actually at 113 days and counting. He's heading for the 150,
mm-hmm.
except this 4 a.m. operation.
Mm-hmm.
his guardian field. He actually has three guardians, not just one. He has three guardians at 113 days and a field to match.
Mm-hmm.
It's right in the way of this operation.
I don't think the field matters, but I'm telling you, if you had a guardian at 113, too bad. Go take out the other ones around it.
Well, yeah, we're working hard to find a way to keep one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, because the field doesn't matter. It's the portal that matters.
It's the portal. But the problem is, when Mark set these up, he didn't realize setting field, you know, links up things in every which way affects a guardian. He now knows that long-distance link off of a guardian is not a good thing.
No. It's
so
not.
I'm planning on doing some extra driving tonight, like probably all the way down to the county border on the south end.
Shit, you'll be up till 4 a.m.
We're probably going to start at midnight.
Oh, and by the way,
taking things out.
You do realize that if none of this happens this week or tonight, I'm going to have to edit all this crap out. which will please some people. But yes, I will have to edit it out because it just means it might get delayed. And considering around here we got a lot of snow. Well, then again, you got a lot of snow too.
But. Yeah, there's a lot of crap going. As I said, what distracted me in the first place is they figured out a way to save all three of his portals, but it required them getting the message to me in Houghton before I left tonight, which I was already on the show, so I didn't get the message.
Ah. Sorry.
So now I'm back at the harbor, and no, don't be sorry. The fact that they're trying everything they can to save his portals,
that's nice,
is appreciated. and Mark's like, yeah, whatever for the cause, man. Just if they're in the way, take them out. Which is surprising them.
I wouldn't at 113 days, but and there's somebody here. Of course, he's not that far along, but he's got several. Guardian portals up, and they asked somebody to take out one of them. That's one of his guardians. Now he's got multiple.
Yeah. What actually got us into trouble was, the night that I was on my third wind and picked up Mark at school at 9:30, and I'm like, oh hell, I've been up 40 some odd hours now, and now I'm awake for how long I don't know. Why don't we just go out in Ingress? Okay, Dad. That was Thursday night, and he didn't have school Friday. That was the problem.
Okay.
That's why we stayed out. We actually didn't get home until 1 in the morning.
Wow.
Because we went up the lake shore and reclaimed a whole bunch of portals and set up links every which way without knowing that what was going to happen tonight was going to happen.
Yeah.
But he's well on his way to a level 9. No, it's not time yet, Bob. Sorry. We lied. It's not as short as we said it was going to be.
Yeah. So.
But no, we're having a great time. It's... Just like I really enjoy mountain biking and stuff with him during the summer, this is something we can do together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a hoot.
Yeah. It's fun. And I got to say, I just have one quick thing. Alien Brain is back. I don't know where he was. I think he was on vacation or something, but he's back. And so Jaffrey is no longer as blue as it used to be. So that's all right. We do daily battles. Back and forth, taking the same. It's okay for me because I actually got to do fielding and linking if I want to ever make level 11. And he makes it easy. I don't have to travel all over the place. He takes him out. I go take him out, link him up, field him. Then he comes and takes him out the next day. And lather, rinse, repeat. Lather, rinse, repeat. So we'll get there. So anyway, okay, that's the end of Ingress. Now back to Top Gear. Oh, Bottom Gear. I don't want to get in trouble.
Hello, and welcome back to another edition of Late Night Kilrim's Bottom Gear, and I'm doing this for the second time tonight, but yes, I was paying attention. But this... is because Michael has got some stories to fill us in on. Take it away, Michael.
All right, well, thank you, Joel. I couldn't do this without you, so I really appreciate the reintroduction. Yeah, and to our listeners, I really apologize. I do and I don't. I mean, family comes first. And there is a period of time there where my son's snowboarding and I really need to be there. So I'm always in transition. The hill closes about the time we're coming back for the show. So that's the way things are, the way things are going to be for the next couple weeks.
So if you complain the show's too long, it's all Michael's fault.
My fault.
Make Michael the fall guy. Throw him under the bus. Yes.
That's right.
All right.
Go ahead.
And I deflated the footballs, too. Anyhow, just kidding. It's physics. So, yes, I did talk, I think, again on the podcast that shall not be named. I'm starting to sound like John Dvorak plugging during Twit. But the family truckster.
Oh, you caught me off guard.
The family truckster.
You went out of order. You went out of order.
I don't have the notes up. I'm sorry. Just was doing everything I could just to get the plugins reintroduced on the... Anyhow.
Okay, go.
There seems to be a new feud between Apple and Google lately. Because it's not recognizing Google as a recognized developer.
Oh, really?
But so that added a whole nother level. Yeah, I had to go into security and tell it to go ahead and... But, anyhow. Okay. So the truck has actually been acting up at certain RPM ranges since September.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole hash of things continued to happen after September, and I never got to it. The first thing I got to was getting the steering right again, as Joel will attest after driving it back from the Jeep doctor. That's all been fixed. As you hear, that after they fixed the steering... That's how long the brake thing's been going on.
Wait a minute. Okay, what are we talking about now? We're still talking the family truckster?
Yeah, we're talking family truckster.
Okay, because you started mixing in...
Yeah, I'm mixing my metaphors, but...
Okay. Go ahead.
It's the best I could do on short notice. Okay, so yeah, we're still on the truckster. Since September, there were serious steering issues that have been taken care of, and then we started having some... engine RPM issues that started out shortly after we filled up diesel at a particular filling station.
Mm-hmm.
That the filling station that shall not be named and shall not be revisited again ever, because the last two times we filled up the truck there, we've had to change the diesel filter.
Ouch.
Is that the same place you took us to?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
oh, good.
Well, their gas is okay. It's the diesel.
Oh, okay.
But the last time they took one of the ambulances from Mercy there was a $14,000 ejector bill.
Ouch.
That occurred.
Crap.
Wow.
So, yeah, there seems to be some issues with this particular establishment. But anyhow, I noticed we went down to a family wedding in September, just before all heck broke loose in my family life. And I noticed some RPM issues on the way back, but it was, you adjusted for it, but the truck has always run smooth as silk, and it wasn't running smooth. So it was fighting something. And finally this week I had time to get it in for a recall that didn't affect my truck, actually, after all. And I said, it's time for a fuel filter. And the newer diesels, they actually recommend a new fuel filter every 10,000 miles.
Uh-huh.
That's not my truck. I still have one of the old generation that doesn't need the low sulfur.
Right.
I've got the last year that actually runs in French fry oil without modifications, other than putting the pre-warmer in there.
Yep.
So this truck is pretty bulletproof to that, but it can still clog the fuel filter. Mm-hmm. So I brought it in and said, I suspect it's got a fuel filter issue or the throttle position sensor has gone bad because it's got a mid-range problem and the fuel economy has dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Really boring people to tears here, but it is bottom gear.
No, not me.
So
I'm busy looking at eBay.
They took the truck. They took a look at the truck. They looked at the three cargo straps holding the cap on. They looked at the left-hand driver's side rearview mirror that looked like it came right out of Terminator. And they said, you're complaining about the fuel filter? I said, yeah, I'm sure it's bad. So the rest of it I'll deal with later. They changed that fuel filter out. My fuel economy went up 5 miles to the gallon. Holy at almost wow. 106. They went from 22 to almost 28 miles to the gallon.
Huh.
One fell wow. swoop.
You can't.
It, well, after it settled down, when they first changed it, it went from 22 down to 14
oh.
because that computer was set to push that fuel pump yep. so hard to get the stuff through the filter.
Yep.
So it took the computer a little time to realize, oh, I'm not starving anymore. Let's readjust this. And bam, I was up to almost, it was 27.8 miles to the gallon.
Nice.
This is a six-passenger, six-cylinder Cummins diesel with an 8-foot bed and four-wheel drive. And I'm getting almost 28 miles to the gallon at 0 degree temperatures outside, Fahrenheit.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was the right call to make. Hmm. So now, oh, that and the left front tire is 20 pounds down, so there's something going on with that.
Ooh.
So after it took care of all that, the family tire's running really good.
Nice.
On the other hand, I have to go to Green Bay on Monday for a business meeting. I'm heading out tomorrow afternoon late and getting a hotel room so I can be there right away in the morning. And I had been planning on taking the Jeep. The Jeep has always gotten me to where I needed to go. Wait, it may have died right when I got to where I needed to go.
This is the old Jeep? The old Jeep?
This is the black Jeep, yes. Oh, yeah! Thank you, man! Way to go. But, the Jeep has always gotten me where I needed to go. It might have broken down right at the point where I got there, but it's always gotten me there. So I figured, I know lots of people along the way. I know people in Green Bay. I've got friends nearby. I've actually alerted everybody that I was heading down because I want to leave the good vehicle, getting back to the father, husband, head of household thing. That's the vehicle you leave behind. Mm-hmm. I was going to take the Jeep.
Right.
Yesterday morning, I started it up. And I heard bearing noise from the back of the engine.
Ruh-roh, that's a crank.
Yeah, and it's also gone through 3 quarts of oil this week, and it hasn't leaked it.
Ooh, that's slapping in. That's a slapper. Broken ring.
a year ago, they told me, you're living in borrowed time. I think I'm out of engine. It's still running, but... It ain't leaving town again until it's
You're not going to Wisconsin, are you?
No. Well, I'm not going to make it.
Yeah.
I can try.
That's what I said. You're not going to Wisconsin. Wisconsin.
And the green Jeep would make it, but I don't have the heat fixed yet.
Oh, shoot. That's got to get done.
It's like 0 degrees out right now, and it's dropping. It's going to be another cold week here, which is probably heading your way.
Probably.
But, So I called up my buddy at the Jeep doctor, who is also a car rental place, and I said, hey, I got to be at a business meeting on Monday, and I know this is short notice. And he goes, yeah, all the cars are rented out. I just want it to run. He goes, well, I do have one that was in an accident. The front end of the bumper's all screwed up. He said, but it runs great. And I said, it's fine by me. So I'm getting a cut rate on the vehicle, and my customer's paying for it. So
nice.
Jeez, can't go wrong there. You're
literally doing a rent-a-wreck thing.
Yeah. Although it's not a rent-a-wreck, it's not that company.
I know.
But he's doing that thing. Yes.
Nice.
But the black Jeep. It's been, I think, permanently retired to Copper Harbor duty until it's time to find another engine for it. And I will put my money in the green Jeep because not only is there an engine issue with the black Jeep, but remember, I've had some issues with the four-wheel drive. Although, I did have a flat, I got down to about 10 pounds before I caught it, on the way to that Mercy Day from Heck that I was talking about earlier. And I put air in it. They got me to the ambulance station. Before I got activated, I had enough time to pull the Jeep into the ambulance station. They said, why are you doing this? I said, because I need to change my tire. And I either change it in 70-degree temperatures in the garage, or I change it in the parking lot at, 5 below in the morning. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you better change the tire now. After I changed the tire, it's not slipping anymore. So I'm wondering if I was having an issue with an underinflated tire causing issues in my transfer case. I don't know. We'll find out. But... more importantly, right now, the warp engines are down, the impulse engines are about shot.
Scotty's doing everything he can.
Yeah, it's the Millennium Falcon ready for a rebuild. I mean, I've got no complaints on this vehicle at all. It's going on 15 years old. It's coming up on 300,000 miles, and it has gotten me to every EMS call in the middle of the night without complaining. So it's time that it gets it's time to go to the next doctor.
Yes.
It needs to regenerate.
Yes, it is. And speaking of, this really isn't a bottom gear thing, but it does deal with roads and bridges. Michael, update on the bridge.
Amazingly, you know, with all the advanced information, the initial part of the bridge project has gone very smoothly. Now, we've got 168 closures coming up in the next, you know, 8 to 10 months. Anywhere from 20 minutes to 2 hours. So they've got shelters and everything set up. So if, you know, especially for the travelers that don't know about it, where they can go and hang out and get coffee and cookies and watch TV. And if you're coming up to the UP and you're in a hurry, that's your own fault. we're rolling out the hospitality, and if you get stuck in the problem, well, that's life up here. The big closure went. Have a pasty. Have a finished pancake or what, you know, and just enjoy. Have a beer, you know, damn it. Get a hotel room and have a couple of pints. Yeah. We're not that way up here. So, no, the closure went down okay. Everything went fine, and we're down to limited traffic on and off the island for the next year. And that's just life up here.
Yep. Wow.
Except for the ambulance. We have priority.
Yep, as should be. So, I think that's going to do it. Unless anybody else has got
that'll do it.
No entertainment last month this week because I really didn't.
Well, I'm still. Much. Yeah, I'm still plugging along on
the
Doctor Who and Torchwood, and I am really having a blast on Radio Free Skaro. If you're a Doctor Who fan and you're not listening to that podcast, okay, I have not gotten to the current episodes. I don't know what they're like now. But I'm listening to them in sequence as I'm catching up in my Doctor Who's. And
good
it's
idea.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Ha. Neat. So, okay. Well, we do have a musical guest tonight. We're continuing the commercial background music. We're almost done. I think we got 3 more songs. And then we'll start a new batch. No, we won't start. But this week's musical guest is American Authors and their song "Best Day of My Life." And believe me, you'll recognize this because it's, I think, behind at least 100 different commercials. So okay, so. And as we always do at the end of the show, thank you to the military guys out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, for what you're doing, especially you OCONUS guys, and stay safe out there. A lot of crazy, weird stuff going on, and I don't know, there's not much we can do about it, I guess. Haven't quite figured out how to handle this type of situation, so... stay safe, and we hope you get back home to your family and friends real soon. Until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. So, with that, from the snowy and getting snowier Monadnock region of southwest New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And also from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, here, this is Joel.
And from the Tug Hill Plateau in central New York, this is Barty.
And busy answering hangout messages about an ingress operation you may not hear about. This is Michael, the Virtual Uper.
All right, everybody. That's show 169. 170 next week. And this show might be a little shorter if I got to cut out all the ingress stuff, but we'll see how it goes.
I can either confirm or deny.
Yes. Anyway. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and... here's American Authors. Samson, speak. Good boy.